friends, so you want to use GitHub Actions with your .NET app, but you don't know where to start. You're a lot like me. It's actually easy to connect your repo, your actions, and your Azure resources for continuous deployment. Tim Heuer is here to show me how today on Azure Friday. Hey friends, I'm Scott Hanselman and it's Azure Friday. I'm here with Tim Heuer. I want to learn all about GitHub Actions and .NET Core within the context of Azure App Service. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Very well. Surviving here at home. I've actually got a bunch of .NET websites that I've, you know, I'm running in Azure App Service and I've been doing it for a very long time. I've done a number of them in Azure DevOps, but I'd love to learn how to take my GitHub repositories that I already have in GitHub. Can I build those in GitHub Actions and get them deployed? And you're going to show me exactly how to do that.
We're going to do it. We're going to do the simple way and get it up and running.
All right, let's do it. What do you got?
All right. So obviously we need to start with a website, right? So I'm here in my terminal window, and I'm just going to use .NET New to create a new web app. So .NET New web app, I happen to have a preview version of .NET installed, so I'm going to specifically set the framework version to the latest release.
Okay.
And we'll give it a name. What should we call it? Your son's doing like a hamster blog, right?
Yeah.
Or something like that. Okay, so we'll call it hamster blog. So we're just using the templates that are included in .NET. So this is the standard template there. And now we can go into here and we'll use Visual Studio just to kind of show the app, Visual Studio Code, sorry, just to show that we have the app created here.
Okay.
So this is your basic .NET Core app, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we were to run this, we would just see the kind of hello world, start pages, the index page there. Now, what you want to do now is to kind of automate this. And so you mentioned that you had previously used Azure DevOps, right? So Azure DevOps has, you connect it with the webhooks and you kind of have this UI that shows different things of how to add the different tasks, right? In GitHub Actions, it's really just one file that you create within your repo. And the first thing we need to do here is to actually make sure that we have this in a Git repo, right? So the fastest way that I'm going to do this is actually using Visual Studio, a new feature in Visual Studio. So let's open this here. And we'll push this directly to...
It's kind of funny that you're using Visual Studio and Visual Studio Code here.
Yeah. This is a great new capability in Visual Studio to directly push to a GitHub repository here.
Oh, wow. That's nice.
So I'm going to go ahead and, you know, it uses all the default names. That's fine. We can accept those. I'm already authenticated with my personal account, so I'll create and push. I'll save the solution.
Oh, nice. So what you're doing here is you are able to create the repository without even visiting the GitHub website.
Exactly. Yeah. So trying to create a more integrated experience here within Visual Studio. And so now we have our repo. We're under Git, so we're under source control. We see the little locks, and we actually have already pushed that to GitHub. So actually, if we went back to our terminal, and I happen to have, you know, a PowerShell theme here, and can we kind of refresh it, we can see that the default branch name is there, and you know, now we're under source control here.
Cool.
So what we want to do for GitHub Actions,
if I may, are your remotes also set up there?
So
if you said Git remote,
yes.
If you said Git remote show for all, Git remote show. Yeah. Okay. And then Git remote show origin. Yeah. Okay. So it is really. So you have a remote set up. Nice.
Yeah. So any action I do now, it already is using my global Git configs and all of that good stuff.
Great.
So the way we get started is I mentioned that you need just a simple file. Now, so everything in GitHub Actions, you can actually start from your repo, but I think most people will feel natural in your editor of choice and, you know, do all those activities here. So we're going to use VS Code for the remainder of this. And the first thing we need to do is everything in GitHub, kind of like with their workflows and item templates and stuff, is stored in a dot folder called .github. So that's kind of the first thing we need to do is make sure we have this structure here. And the second thing is a nested folder under that. Actions are called workflows. So we'll create a folder called workflows. Now, anything under here is just going to be a YAML file. And the GitHub Actions runners, they're called runners. So these are basically the server agents that execute your jobs, are going to look for YAML files that are within this folder here. So we'll just create one called build and deploy.
Just to make sure that I understand how this works, you can set this up in GitHub and they have like templates to start it up and you can go on the website and do all this stuff. And you're doing it here just to kind of make sure that we see there's nothing underneath it. It's just text files, right?
It's just text files. Yeah. So if you start from your repo, you can go to the actions tab in your repo, which we'll show in a second. And you'd be able to see like kind of start with a really getting started. But it's going to be a lot more vanilla bare bones. And so ideally, you know, we're going to show you a better practice here.
All right, cool.
What to use. So I've got some pre-configured things and I just kind of want to work through a couple of these here, just going to work through a couple items here. So first thing we do is we give the kind of the workflow a name. This is the thing that would show up in your action workflow. It's helpful because if you have multiple workflows, because sometimes you have them on pull requests or push, and sometimes you segment them, like I want to build one or I want to deploy a different one. And so it's easier to just kind of spot them by name.
So that name is not specific to, like, build and deploy is not special. I could have called it build and it would test, whatever.
Yep. We can call this hamster blog build.
All right, cool.
It could be anything. And then we kind of tell it, what is the trigger? So this on, so now we're in YAML territory, and this is basically going to tell us, well, when do you want this workflow to run? And so we're saying, I want it to run on these certain triggers. And so triggers are activities that that GitHub can trigger, right? So a push, a pull request. This one is called a workflow dispatch, which is basically I can manually trigger this from the website as well.
And it looks like your IntelliSense doesn't expect that, so that's why it's squiggling.
Workflow dispatch is a new feature, and so the IntelliSense extension that I'm using here isn't aware of that, and so we'll remove that noise for now.
Okay.
So the second thing we want to do is basically start building our jobs, right? So now this is where you basically tell the workflow, like, what do I want it to do? And in Azure DevOps, they're called tasks. In GitHub Actions, they're called jobs and steps. So I want to have a job that's that does the build, and I have a set of steps that's within that. So let me start with a couple things here. And let's walk through a couple of these here. So the first thing we do is we give it, we say, hey, I'm going to run a couple of jobs here. The first job I'm going to do is called build. This is an arbitrary name. I could have called this foo. And then I can give it also another visual name that this will show up in the logs right here. The second thing on any job is, or any step, or sorry, job, is you want to tell it, well, where is this going to run? Now, in GitHub Actions, like I mentioned, these things called runners that are servers that run, that are hosted on GitHub Actions. There's a set of pre-configured machines that you can use that are kind of what they call the latest, right? So I can use, in this case, we're using Ubuntu-latest, which is the latest build of Ubuntu. I think this represents probably 18.04. I could use Windows-latest as another one. I could say Windows-2016 if for some reason I needed like Visual Studio 2017, which is part of the software that's on that agent. The other cool thing is I can actually self-host my agents myself. And so GitHub will give you basically a container that you can install on your laptop, your desktop, and you can say self-hosted agent, and it will run and remote that job across locally. So we're just going to give it the instruction here to say running on the latest. Then we use a series of steps, and this is where the magic happens. Every step in GitHub Action starts with checking out the code, right? So this is an agent that knows nothing about your code. It's got to get it on the machine. And GitHub Actions are used basically code that executes. The cool thing about GitHub Actions is this right here, actions/checkout, is a repo. You can go to github.com/actions/checkout, and you can see the code that will actually execute when you run this. So every action is basically required to be kind of open source repo. And then this is just a tag of the version of the branch I want to use. And so this action, you'll see this in every first step in GitHub Action, is to check out the code.
And that @v2, is that a tag?
It depends on the owner of the action. So I could actually say @master here or main, right? Whatever the default branch is.
A branch
I could
or a
say
tag.
Foo, a branch or a tag, or a release version as well. Now it will say like, let's say the default branch was main. And that's the active development branch. You actually never want to do this because you're not deterministic at that point, right? Someone could be doing active development. They check in a code. You happen to be running where they have inserted a bug, and now you just picked it up. So it's always good to work with actions that are basically tagged a specific version, because you know that that's been blessed as a specific release. So that's a good best practice.
And it sounds like that's actually something to think about within the context of that runs on, because in the one case you said runs on Ubuntu latest, which in 2 years will be different, while setting a specific version would guarantee a reliable build until that version was deprecated completely.
Correct. Now, for the GitHub hosted ones, you are limited to what they provide. So you wouldn't be able to, I wouldn't just be able to go in here and say Ubuntu 4. Whatever.
I see.
You can see, like, here's the versions that are currently available on, you know, pinned versions.
That makes sense.
Yeah. 4. So the next thing we do is we're going to now basically, again, start using .NET to actually build our application. So the first thing we want to do is we want to set up .NET. This is all we do is have is a blank Ubuntu machine. So we're going to get the .NET SDK. Now you can see here that I've got this env, this kind of dollar squiggle squiggle syntax here. So this is basically a syntax in GitHub Actions where you can refer to global variables. In this case, we're using env or environment variables. And I can, these are things that I can get from GitHub itself. So in the documentation of Actions, there's a set of environment variables you can pull, like OS versions, processor types, and those type of things. Or I can set them as well. And so in this case, we're going to set one called netcore version. And the place where we do that is, again, in our jobs here. We can set up a higher node here where we basically are going to start declaring some environment variables here.
Makes sense.
So I'm going to do this one called netcore version. We'll talk about these other ones in a second. And just for giggles, we'll bump up to the latest SDK here. And so now it's going to basically say, hey, I'm going to pull this dollar squiggle squiggle from this area right here. We're going to use this action again. So this is an action that does all the work for you to get the SDK. And I'm going to say, but the .NET version I want is this version, right? So I'm building on 3.1, which is the LTS, the long-term support version of .NET Core. But maybe I'm doing 2.1, and that's the only SDK that I want to do as well. Then I would just change the version. I could either change my environment variable or change the version here.
Right. In that case, .NET Core 3.1.103, that's an arbitrary SDK version you picked there. That's not a specific LTS version. That's just arbitrary.
Correct, right? LTS is the kind of major minor, and SDK is versioned on revisions here. So, you know, additional kind of SDK build fixes and things like that. Now,
sure.
You technically can do something like this, where I can say, hey, just give me the latest 3.1 SDK. Mm-hmm. Again, from a best practice standpoint, you're not deterministic at that point, right? So let's say, heaven forbid, we introduce a situation that a deprecated MS build property, perhaps, or something like that. And you get the latest and you're using that, and it flags a deprecation warning message that you weren't expecting, and that changes your workflow. Mm-hmm. So in the simplest forms, you can do that. But again, best practices, it's good to be discreet, I think. So now that we have that set up, we have our environment basically set up. We've checked out our code. We've set up .NET. Let's start building it. So now we're going to say, hey, I want to actually go ahead and do a build here. And since now I have the .NET SDK, I can just start executing .NET commands. So I'm going to say .NET build, or sorry, first thing we want to do is restore, right? This is good best practice here. I want to say .NET restore on my project. So this is going to basically get all the NuGet packages and make sure that there's any issues there. Now, the reason why I like to specifically call out restore, build, and publish as separate is I think it's, again, another best practice to kind of see the discrete steps in your CI workflow. You can pull them out better in your logging and things like that to be able to see, like, if there was an issue in restore and you just bundled like a bunch of CI commands in one run statement, you're going to not be able to pick it out easily in the log. This way it's more discrete and you can see it more simply. Mm-hmm. So now we'll go ahead and do a build. And since we already did the restore, right, we can say .NET build, no restore. So this is optimizing kind of our steps along the way here.
Right, because build implies a restore.
Build implies restore. And then the same thing here, we're going to now publish, right? And so publish, I think it's a bad rap on a name. Like, we're not actually pushing to Azure at this point. We're creating the assets to publish, right? We're we're creating a package to deploy.
Yeah.
And we call that publish in the CLI. And so here we would say publish no build, because we already did the build. That makes sense?
Right. And what's interesting about that is that if you wanted to, if you're developing, you could just say .NET publish. It would imply a rebuild, which would imply a restore, and it all does it in one swell foop, as they say, and it publishes to a folder that's local, and it's, if you don't specify anything, it shows up automatically in a specific folder. So what you're doing, like you said, is being super explicit.
Yep. And actually, we forgot one step here too, right? We actually want to do a release configuration on these. And then specifically here in publish, we want to tell it like where to put the output. So we want all the assets to kind of be in a specific location. And so here we're going to just go ahead and say, put it in this folder called published. So that way later we can pull those things out. So that's it. So this is literally the three things that you could do to have a CI flow within your application,
okay, or
within your repo.
So at the end of this, though, then I have all of my .NET stuff that's sitting in a folder called published. Then that has to go into Azure somehow. But then also, right, I need to know that Azure is going to have the appropriate runtime that's ready for me, because you didn't do a self-contained publish. You're
correct,
assuming that that runtime is ready to go and in Azure, right?
Correct. So in typical kind of environments, the resources in a typical CI environment, you wouldn't be continuing to recreate those resources at each time, right? You're deploying to existing resources. So in this case, we're kind of assuming that we've already created that web app. And we can look at it right here. So I'm in my instance of my Azure portal, and I've created a web app using the Linux app service here. And I've already done all the configuration options, and we'll go in here in configuration. You can see the runtime I've selected.
Under general.
General. And so I've already said, hey, I'm using the .NET Core stack, version 3, and the LTS version here. So I'm assuming that this resource is going to already be available to me. And then all I really need is a couple things from this resource. Actually, really, to use this, I just need this one thing from this resource, is this publish profile. And so you can click this button, and it will give you this XML file that basically has all the contents and kind of credentials and everything that you need to be able to push something to this Azure resource. Now, let's go ahead and go to our repo here, because we need to kind of associate that, right? Like that publish profile has some keys in it, if you will. And I don't want to put that in my workflow file. I don't want to check that in, right? That's bad practice, Scott. You would tell me not to do that.
Indeed. And I'm also not going to say anything mean about your extensions and your use of toolbars and things that are happening in your browser, because I'm not that kind of host.
Yes, I appreciate it. Okay, so we're on our repo here. Here's our hamster blog repo. And GitHub on your repo has this notion of secrets. So in Azure DevOps, if you've used I don't think they're called secrets. I can't remember exactly what they're called, but you can basically create kind of these secure variables. And so this is essentially the same thing. It's a name value pair to be able to create secrets on your repo. So they're encrypted, they're kind of one time, and the actions can go ahead and read these secrets. So we're going to go ahead and create a new secret, and we're going to call it, what do we call it? We will give it just this key name here. And again, this is completely arbitrary. You can call it whatever you want. I'm just calling it. For some reason, I like to use all caps and underscores. So that's what I'm going to do.
And this is the best and right way to do it. There's no authentication process where I go and auth against and do the little back and forth, which is how they do it in Azure DevOps, which is a little bit different because it's very integrated.
Right. Yes. So for direct publish to like app service, what we're doing here with no containers involved, right? We're not doing any container stuff, any container registry. This is the simplest mechanism to do it. You have all that published profile. It will be stored securely in here, and you can just leverage that. And the action that we'll hook up next in the next step in that job basically knows how to take that information and do the actual deploy. So what we'll do here is on my desktop, I have this file. So if we just kind of open this up, this is a bunch of goop. that I'll have to recycle keys after this. But and so we'll just put that in here. We'll save this. And so now we have a secret here. And you can see that I actually can't edit it, right? Like I can't see what it is anymore. So if I actually want to change this, I'm basically deleting, and I can't just change like a character.
I have it's to write only it. At this point.
It's write only. And then the only thing that can really read it is the action. So now that I have that key name, I can use it. And this is helpful for like other keys that you want. You can use this for anything. And then that kind of dollar squiggle squiggle is how we would reference it here. Make sense?
Yep. That's cool.
Okay. So now we want to deploy and write this one, make sure I'm using the same things here. Okay. So the next one we're going to do is now we have our restored, built, and published app assets, and we're going to deploy it to Azure web apps. So Azure has a set of actions that help us do this for us. We don't have to think about the magic. We don't have to call REST APIs. We just say, hey, use this deploy action, again, this tag release, and I'm going to give you some parameters. The app name that I want to give you is, I think, something different. So I think we called it AF Linux app. The secrets. So this is the secret we just added. So it's like, hey, the published profile where you need to get the information to push all that stuff out to is here. And the thing you need to push is called a package in this variable, is this environment variable here we're calling app package path, which happens to be that output folder that we just created, right? So that published output.
Right. That used to be the word published, and then you changed it and made it an environment variable.
It just made an environment variable, yeah. So it's basically things right here.
Yep. Cool.
So that's it. So well, now
that's like it. That like makes sense.
That's it. So now we just have this file here, right? That is just checked in. So we can go in here and we can say, yeah, add CI, commit that, of course. And we can do a push. And really what we just did is we pushed this workflow file to our repo. And now if we go back to the repo, hopefully it pushed it in time. So we can see that that's our commit we just did. And every repo now has this actions tab here. So if we did everything correctly and we go to actions, we see here's that name, right? That top name that we had, hamster blog build. So
that was going to be a question of mine. The fact that you named it hamster blog build or whatever.yaml, anything.yaml in that folder called workflows in the .github secret folder shows up in that user interface now.
Right. So that's why it's helpful to kind of name these things, right? Because if you had multiple workflows, it's easy to be like, oh, I just need to go see what's going on with this workflow. So I can go select what's going on with that. And here's the latest commit. Remember, we said on push, which was the trigger, go do this thing. And so that was it kind of uses the last commit hash message. Mm-hmm. And so now we can go in and basically, this is our job, right? This is our running job.
That's amazing. That it's running already because you added it and it happened to use the push of itself as the on.
Yes. Yeah. So that is like one interesting thing is like the first push also includes and triggers your workflow as well.
That's pretty cool.
And then you can see, here's the other name that we added in our file as well, build and deploy. So it's helpful again to kind of, you can not name these things and then it'll just choose all the names for you. But it's helpful to name them so that you can see kind of what things are going on. And then the log is a beautiful thing. And because we chose to see it discreetly, if there was any incidents or actions that were, you know, a problem here, we can be like, oh, restore was a problem. What happened? Let me look at all the logs of just
and
restore.
Actually, scroll down and do me a favor and then scroll down a little bit and go down where it says deploy and open up deploy. Because I think that's really interesting here. A lot of people who are Azure familiar, like myself, don't realize that zip deploy is a thing. And it's literally you get a folder the way you want it to look, and it will zip it up, put it over here, and unzip it. And it's just a nice, clean, fast way to get things into Azure. And I think maybe a feature more people should use. And in this case, GitHub Actions is using it with great success.
Exactly. So that action that we just did, right? We just created a couple parameters and just said, hey, here's this package. Like we just said, look at this folder and put it somewhere. Mm-hmm. And so all the code to do all that hard work of like zip in the right way and the right settings on my app name and stuff, that's all in this action, which by the way is open source and you can see it because that's just a repo executing code. And so that's it. Nice. So now we can make changes. If we actually go to our app, we should see now the, we didn't make any actual
a app legendary changes here, hamster blog. Because right now my kids are just FTPing. I wanted them to learn the basics. So the hamster blog is myhamsterblog.com. They just did it in Visual Studio Code and they manually FTP that.
Right. And there we go. So there's our
it works.
Hamster blog. It works.
Lovely.
And so now any changes that you wanted to do, so we could say, push workflow dispatch was that other one. So now if I wanted to create like this manual trigger, I could do those other things. A favorite of mine actually is to also, like when you deploy something, is like, well, on that particular job, how did I know what I deployed? And so Actions has this mechanism of saying like, well, that thing you just deployed, like upload it to this job so that now I can, if there was any issues, I can actually download that. So we're basically taking that zip file and pushing it to that job here. So we can take it, let me just say.
So where would that go now? That's going to be associated somewhere in Azure. So if I'm in the Azure, portal, yep, I can then see that?
It will be associated, exactly. And so we'll push this and we'll do it again. And so this is, it's running fairly quick. So the, that's not the right one.
Far right. Yep.
So now we should be able to see the second job started. We just added the artifact and the history is there as well, right? So you can see all the history.
Okay. Good stuff. So are you saying if you went to the deployment center in Azure that it would now show up with the artifact linked there?
No. So it will show only in this particular workflow because the artifact we're uploading is to the Actions kind of job and not the deployment center.
I see. But then I would be able to go and download it and see the format of the zip file and where all the paths are.
Yeah. And you would be like, okay, maybe there was an asset, right? Like images or something like that.
CSS file that I wanted a certain way.
Right. And so that was, so after this deploy, that last step, it's basically just doing that zip and putting it in there. And then when this completes, you see that this just popped up that says artifacts.
Look at that.
There's that web app.
Love
it. This is just a zip file that contains the contains basically our published folder output.
Okay. So this is not beta. This is, you did all of this with public bits and editing a text file, a YAML file.
This is the real deal, yeah. And so you may want to say, well, I don't want to push. And you can see, like, we added that workflow dispatch tag here too. So this is cool. I like this. This is my favorite new feature. Is now I can go in here and say, like, yeah, just I want to trigger that on a different branch, maybe, or something like that. So I can manually trigger something as well. I don't have to actually push. But this is the real deal. You can do, what we just showed is very simple, right? So this is any .NET Core app. Building and we could have added .NET test if we had test, and we could have pushed our test outputs. I have that with a couple apps that I have, and published to Azure. The functions deployment is very similar as well. Containers take a few extra steps, right? Because you want to push to a container registry and do all the right kind of negotiations there. But it's again very similar. That it's just a couple more steps in your job. It's not rocket science.
Cool. Well, thank you much, sir. Thank you very much. And for the audience who stuck with us, this is a little bit more a longer, more detailed, more leisurely Azure Friday. Let us know what you think. We're on Twitter at twitter.com/AzureFriday. Myself and Tim are also on Twitter, so I hope you try this out. I'm learning all about how to deploy .NET Core apps to Azure with GitHub Actions today on Azure Friday.
Hey, thanks for watching this episode of Azure Friday. Now I need you to like it, comment on it, tell your friends, retweet it, watch more Azure Friday.